Welcome, everyone. We are on day two of our sports article, Brazil Preps for 2016. My name is Brandon, and I have Peter and Ellen back with me today. Hello, panelists.
Hello.
Great to have you here. And yesterday, we talked about some of the concerns for the preparations for Brazil in 2016, and we also talked about there are varying opinions. Some people are saying that, oh, there's really no problem here, and others are saying that there is a problem, right?
That's right. It looks like they are delayed with some of their projects and going over budget for the Olympics.
Okay, so that's some of what we talked about yesterday. We also saw that the World Cup was held in Brazil, and it was successful, but it wasn't expected to be successful, right?
Right. The lead up to the World Cup, much of Brazil was feeling quite anxious because a lot of projects and a lot of construction issues arose. There were a couple of serious accidents when construction was being made. So there was a lot of anxiety, and there was actually a lot of social unrest, I would say, going into it, too.
Okay. And so it all turned out well, and people are wondering, will everything go well with the 2016 Olympics? This is the first time that the Summer Olympics are being held in South America, and so people have high expectations, so they're really focused then on Brazil in 2016. But I want to talk about the Summer Olympics. I personally love the Summer Olympic Games. I enjoy watching some of the events. Of course, it is still a while away. You know, we're talking about next summer, but we can start to think about some of those games that we're anticipating. And I want to ask the panelists, what are some events that you really enjoy watching at the Summer Olympics? Peter?
Well, I was thinking of pole vaulting. That came to mind, which is a little bit of an obscure sport, but it's always fun to watch these people sprint and then jump as high as they can with a big pole. Mm. It looks like a lot of fun.
You should try it.
I want to.
Okay.
I want to.
Maybe we'll see Peter in the 2016 Olympics.
We'll make a feature out of it.
Yeah. And Ellen, how about you?
I very much enjoy watching the track and field events. So a lot of the sprint races and even the marathon is quite interesting and fun to watch.
Yeah. And what's amazing with all of these events is to see how talented these people are. I mean, they train basically, I would say, most of their lives to compete in these events. And so, you know, it's really sad when you see someone get hurt in these events because they've been working so hard at it. But it's also great to see them not give up, you know, and to keep going. And so I enjoy also the swimming event. And also gymnastics. Those are my two favorite, I would say. And I really like Michael Phelps. We've had an article about him before, and I think it's just fun to watch him swim. And I also, when I watch the people who do gymnastics, I'm just amazed at how flexible they are and how talented they are, and I could never do that. So I don't know how they can. Of course, they've been training for many years, but it's exciting to watch these events. And so people are excited for what's going on in Brazil. Many South Americans, I'm sure, are very thrilled to have this event on their continent. And people in Brazil are excited, but we're wondering, will everything be finished on time? And so we're continuing today to talk about that. We are on page 39, and right now we will have our first reading.
Einbinder, wearing an ill-fitting plastic construction helmet and rubber boots, stood in the middle of what will be the International Broadcast Center. Comparisons between the World Cup and the Olympics are misguided, he insisted. The planning for the Olympics is totally different from the World Cup, he said. We have learned from the World Cup. But for us, the most important example was the Olympics in London in 2012, and Sochi as well. With the Olympics, everything is in one city. A lot of different sports every day, 24 hours a day. Totally different. Indeed, Rio de Janeiro was the site of only 7 World Cup games. For the Olympics, the city must accommodate more than 10,500 athletes from 200 nations, 45,000 volunteers, and about 21,000 media members. And that doesn't include the foreign tourists expected to flood the city for the games. The London Olympics drew about 680,000 overseas visitors. For the services of the city, yes, there are a lot of things that are the same. Transports, airports, mobility, Ainbinder said. We are looking at the experience of the World Cup to apply or not apply the best of the World Cup.
Okay, so we hear from Roberto. He is the project director for the Rio Games. And we get a description here of, I guess, what he's wearing, right? His construction helmet. And they call it ill-fitting. What in the world are they talking about?
Ill-fitting is just something that doesn't fit well. So when you buy clothes, you don't want to buy ill-fitting clothes because it is not something that fits you well.
Yeah, so it doesn't fit him well. But he wears it, because I'm sure that's the rule, that you have to wear a construction helmet when you're on site. And he's also wearing rubber boots, and so he looks like he's ready to get some work done, right? And where is he, Peter?
He is in what will be the International Broadcasting Center. So I can imagine that he's trying to make a statement that things are being built and we're on schedule.
Yeah, and so, you know, we get this clear description of what he's wearing and where he is, and then we go next to comparisons between the World Cup and the Olympics are misguided. This is what he says. And so they're making a comparison because they have to make a comparison to see, you know, if everything will be on schedule or not. They can compare between other Olympic games. They can compare to the World Cup because it was just there. But he says these comparisons between the World Cup and the Olympics are actually misguided.
Right, and misguided just being meaning that it is unreasonable or unsuitable. And he says this because, he says, the planning for the Olympics is totally different from the World Cup. Even though they have learned from the World Cup, they are wanting to take more of more wisdom from the preparations for the London Olympics or the Sochi Olympics.
So basically it looks like he's saying they're not making really the right comparisons here. You know, this should not be the guidelines or what you should judge against. You shouldn't be looking at the World Cup or just the World Cup. Let's look at the other Olympic Games, because that's actually what we're having here, right? Are the Olympic Games.
That's right. It's not just stadiums like the World Cup had, I guess. Although, there is infrastructure involved and many, many people coming to the events, but he's saying that they're very different, and we need to compare not to the World Cup, but to other Olympics.
Yeah, he says, we learn from the World Cup, that's fine, that's great, but we really want to focus in on the Olympic Games, and he gives the example of the Olympics in London in 2012, and also in Sochi, which is in Russia, which was back in the Winter Olympics back in 2014, just last year. And so that's really what he wants to look at. And with the Olympics, everything is in one city, right? And what else does he say about that?
Right. He says for the Olympics, a lot of different sports are being competed at all hours of the day, which is very different from the World Cup, which can be hosted in one country, but can actually have stadiums all over the country. So, for example, in Brazil, we saw some of the games being played in São Paulo and Brasilia, and some a bit more remote stadiums, and not everything was located in Rio, which is where the Olympic Games will be held.
Okay, so he says this is totally different, and so let's not get all anxious and worried. Let's just learn from the other Olympic sites and what they did there, and let's apply that to what we are doing here in Brazil. And then the writer of this article goes on to say, indeed, Rio de Janeiro was the site of only 7 World Cup games. And then we find out more about what's expected for the Olympics.
That's right. The city must accommodate more than 10,500 athletes from 200 nations, so that's a lot of different languages you have, with 45,000 volunteers and about 21,000 media members.
Okay, and so the word accommodate means that they have to provide a place for them to stay. They have to give them the things that they need. This is the verb usage. We can also say accommodations is the noun usage. And so there's a lot that they need to supply for people, right? And for the World Cup, also a lot of people came into town, but for the Olympics, it will be even more so. And so that is a huge deal. A lot of people will need to be involved, and you have to get everybody on board and make sure everybody is on the same page, and that's a huge task. And we continue on with, that doesn't include the foreign tourists. People will be coming from all over the world to watch the Olympic Games, and they're actually going to flood the city for the Games. What does it mean that they're going to flood the city?
Flooding the city, we can kind of take the visual from when something is flooded. It just takes over the entire area. So tourists flooding the city means that many, many tourists will come in and just be around the city in pretty much every space that there is.
Okay, so they have to make preparations for all of those people. And we have an example here in London. How many people came? How many overseas visitors?
It drew about 680,000 overseas visitors.
Okay, and so again, they just have to get ready for all of these people. So this is kind of a difference, I think, between the World Cup and the Olympics, is the vast number of people that will be coming to the Olympic Games. And next, we hear more from Anna Binder, and he says, for the services of the city, yes, there are a lot of things that are the same. And so here we're making, again, a comparison. Went on with the World Cup, of course, transports, airports, mobility. Okay, so these things are the same, basically, and they are not changing. And they're looking at the experience of the World Cup to apply or not apply the best of the World Cup. What does that last sentence mean, Peter?
So they are looking at what the World Cup did to solve some of these problems, and they're saying, are we going to use them, or are they not going to use the solutions that the World Cup came up to? So they're going to apply them or not apply them.
Okay, and so basically they want to learn from everything that they can, right, Ellen?
Right. It's always smart when, you know, other people have experience to kind of take the best of those experiences and apply it to your situation. And that's exactly what Anne Binder is saying about the Brazilian Olympics, is that they will take from the London and the Sochi Olympics, they'll also take from Brazil's World Cup and just combine all those experiences and see what works.
Okay. And they have a lot of people involved. There are many workers. They're working very hard. Let's find out what they are doing in our next reading.
Working around the clock. Much of the Rio Games will be centered on the sprawling Olympic Park, which is being constructed on the site of a motorsports complex that once played host to the Brazilian Grand Prix. The project, with 3.9 million square feet in the upscale borough of Barra da Tijuca in Rio de Janeiro's western edge, is the largest of four event clusters spread around the city. There, 3,000 men, split into double shifts, are working 22 hours per day on 12 venues, the last of which won't be completed until the spring of 2016. Already, there are plans to increase the number of workers to 8,000. Einbinder insists that's planning, not panic.
So workers are working around the clock. So does that mean they have a clock out there and they're, you know, circling the clock? What does that mean, Ellen?
No, working around the clock just means to be working all the time. So it's an idiom, I believe, that we use to describe just all day and all night.
That's right. So they're working all the time, basically. We see later, I think it's actually 22 hours a day. But basically, all day long, the workers are out there, and that's needed because they're behind, right, Peter?
They are behind. I hope they catch up.
They need more than 24 hours in a day, I guess. But, of course, that's not possible. Well, much of the Rio Games will be centered on the sprawling Olympic Park. And we've seen this word sprawling a lot. We maybe use that word with the city of LA, for example, or some other big cities. What do we mean when we say that something is sprawling?
Well, when we say something is sprawling, we just mean it has a big area. If we want to specifically look at the definition, it says existing or reaching over a large area, often in a way which is not tidy. So it's just a big area. So Olympic Park will always kind of be sprawling because you need a lot of space.
That's right. Okay, so this Olympic Park is being constructed on the side of a motorsports complex. And what exactly does the word motorsports mean?
Motorsports, well, they're talking about the Grand Prix that took place in Brazil. And motorsports are any type of sports. We think of the Olympics as all those sports that use our body. Well, motorsports are anything that use cars.
That's right.
Or something with an engine that's burning fuel.
So that's what was here before. This was the complex for the Grand Prix. Okay, and this is a big motorsports event. We see there in our specialized terms. It's one of a series of important international races for very fast and powerful cars. And so this is a big transition, as Peter said, from cars to people competing in sports. Well, the project, we talked about this park, you know, it's a sprawling Olympic park, and here we see more about how big it is, right?
Right, and it's 3.9 million square feet.
Okay, so wow, it's huge. And square feet is just a unit of measurement. Actually, one square foot is 0.0929 square meters. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's just a unit of measurement. And so it's a big project. It is a sprawling park. It covers a large area. And it's in a nice area, right, Peter?
That's right. It's in an upscale borough. Upscale, we usually say, is maybe a more expensive neighborhood. Things are nicer, so it's higher on the scale of places to live. So it's upscale. And then borough just means like a neighborhood.
Yeah, it's an area, right, of a town or a division of a larger town. And I think of New York City. I believe it has 5 boroughs, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so there's different divisions there of the city. And we're looking here at Rio de Janeiro's western edge, and we see that it is the largest of the 4 event clusters, this particular project. And when we say a cluster, we're talking about different buildings together or something like that, right?
It's more of like a collection of buildings. It's not just one stadium. There's going to be other buildings, and they're all kind of together in a cluster. And it's incredible to think that although there's this huge 3.9 million square foot area project, that's only one of 4. So there's quite a few going on there.
That's right. Yeah, this is only one of the clusters. There are 3 other clusters spread around the city. And so you get an idea here of really how big this whole project is, all the different clusters involved, all the different venues that they have to prepare. So for me, when I look at this, I think, wow, I can imagine that it would be very easy to get behind, especially if you've never done this before. Yes, they've done the World Cup. This is the first time that they had the Olympics, the Summer Olympics in South America. And so I would say maybe give them a little grace, you know. Of course, they've had many years at the same time to prepare for it, but hey, they've never done it before, and so maybe, you know, they'll catch up eventually. But there's a lot to be done, right, Ellen?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we see in the next paragraph, it says, right now they have 3,000 men who are splitting into double shifts. So they are splitting the different times that they're working. So some people are working in the morning, some people are working in the evenings, and they're working 22 hours to build this venue. So there's a lot of work to be done, and it seems there's not enough hours in the day to do it.
So if you work a double shift, Peter, how many hours would that be, for example?
Usually a shift is just a normal work day. So you can think of it as just a normal work day, which maybe is 8 hours plus 1 hour for lunch, so that's 9 hours, mm-hmm. and they're working twice as much. So double shifts mean working more, twice as much as you normally would.
Okay. All right. So we see that there are currently 3,000 men working double shifts, and they're, we see they're working 22 hours per day on 12 venues. And so basically what we see here, people are working almost all the time on these projects. And it says, the last of which won't be completed until the spring of 2016. So they're working 22 hours per day on 12 venues, and the last of which won't be completed until the spring of 2016. And are there plans to add more workers, Ellen?
Yes, there are already plans to increase the number to 8,000 workers, so almost triple the amount of workers. And they hope that this will help in building and preparing. And Binder actually insists, you know, that's planning, that's not them panicking. They see that there's an issue that they might need to address, so they're just planning a way to fix it.
Right, I guess it depends on which angle you're coming from. Some people could look at that and say, oh, they're panicking, they're adding more people. But either way, they're adding more people, so hopefully they will get the job done. That's the bottom line, right? Will everything be finished on time? And so if you're behind, what do? You try to fix it. Add more people. Do what you need to do to make it happen, right? That's what happens in anybody, with anybody's life and work. If it's not working, what can we do to fix the problem? And so I think regardless of, you know, the fact that they could be behind or whether they're on schedule, the point is that everything is finished on time.
That's right. And I think the saying, when there's a will, there's a way. And I think that's what's going on here. They have the will to try to finish, and they're going to find a way to make it happen.
That's right. They will find a way to make it happen. The Olympic Games, they've always gone on, right? And so I don't think this will be any different, that they will find a way to make it happen, whether, you know, it's adding more people or whatever they need to do to really make sure that these Olympic Games are successful. And so yesterday we saw that the World Cup was supposed to be a disaster, but it turned out to be a success. And actually, the president, Sepp Blatter, president of FIFA, said that it was the most successful tournament in history, the most successful World Cup in history. And so will that be the case for the 2016 Summer Games? Well, we will have to wait and see. But we can continue to update ourselves on what's going on. We have a lot of time left before those games start, so we can continue to look at what's happening in the news to see if, you know, everything is, see if everything will be finished on time. Well, before we finish today, we want to look at page 39, and we have a sidebar there, and it talks about the costs of recent Olympics. Now, these are the Summer Olympics, and it goes all the way back to 1980. And where were the Olympics held in 1980, Ellen?
They were held in Moscow, and their theme that year was for peace and friendship. And they spent only $1.35 billion.
Okay.
And I say just spent, because we'll see later that a lot more has been spent.
Right, that's a lot of money, of course, but this is a huge project, and as you said, there's going to be a lot more spent later on. And so they're slow. Each year they have a slogan, of course, and so for this year it was for peace and friendship. And then we go 4 years later, and that was held where?
Those Olympics were held in Los Angeles in 1984, and their theme was Dare to Dream, or Play a Part in History. And those Olympics were a little bit less expensive at $413 million.
Yeah, and so the cost actually went down there 4 years later. That's kind of interesting. Usually the costs will go up, you would think, from year to year. And then we go to Asia, right?
Right. We go to Korea in Seoul. And that year the theme was harmony and progress, and they spent $4 billion. So we see them go up a bit again.
Okay, and then we go over to Spain in 1992. Friends Forever, $11.4 billion was spent there. So that's kind of a big jump, actually, right there with the costs. And then we go back to the U.S., right?
That's right. We go to Atlanta in 1996. The Celebration of the Century, and that was $1.8 billion.
Okay, so it went back down again. All right, and then over to Australia, we went down under in 2000.
Right, and the theme that year was Share the Spirit, and they spent about $6.1 billion.
Okay, so it went back up again, and then Athens in 2004, where they also kind of had some concerns there, right, about whether or not everything would be finished on time. Their theme was In the True Spirit of the Games, or Welcome Home, and they spent $9 billion. And then we go to China in 2008 in Beijing, and their theme was One World, One Dream, and they spent a lot of money, right?
They did. They spent $44 billion. And I think part of that contribution comes from they are a developing nation, and so they have a lot more projects that need to get done, infrastructure projects, as well as they want to showcase their nation as it's their first time to hold the Olympics versus a country like the United States or something like that, where some of those infrastructure projects are already in place.
Okay.
So it's a lot more, $44 billion.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
So they spent a lot of money there. And then in London in 2012, Inspire a Generation. I like that slogan, Inspire a Generation. And how much money did they spend, Ellen?
They spent $14.6 billion. So they went down a bit, but they still spent quite a lot.
Okay, and so we see here every year, you know, how much they spent and what their themes were. And we found out yesterday that right now, as it stands, $16 billion is the cost, or will be the cost, for the Olympic Games in Brazil. And who knows if that will go up? We don't know yet, because there's still time before the Games actually begin. Well, we have more to talk about, so join us again tomorrow for day three of our sports article, Brazil Preps for 2016. Until then, this is Brandon.
This is Peter.
This is Ellen.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.